Men, we are called to greatness. What keeps us from responding to that call? Hello, I'm Brian Patrick, and welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle the tough issues most men think about, but seldom talk about. What's blocking us from being the men we're made to be? Courage is our topic here on Crossing the Goal. As we kick off our show on courage, let's meet the Crossing the Goal team. Peter Herbeck is Vice President of Renewal Ministries. He's an author, a speaker, and directs international mission teams in more than 25 countries. Peter's been married 22 years and is the father of four. Curtis Martin is President and founder of Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. He is the author of Boys to Men. He's been married 18 years and is the father of eight. And our coach, Danny Abramowitz, is a former NFL All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach. Danny is a well-known speaker and author of The Spiritual Workout of a Former Saint. He's the husband of 42 years, a father of three, and the grandfather of four. Gentlemen, Curtis, why don't you start us off?
Sure. Brian, the task at hand is for us to recognize the challenge. And the challenge is that the world is radically broken. If we look around in our culture, we see abortion, pornography, divorce, all sorts of problems ripping us apart. And we need to be courageous. We need to recognize that something more is asked of us. We as men need to step up. But the challenge is this. The problem doesn't just exist outside of us. It actually exists inside of us as well. We, too, have been broken and wounded. So how can we fix this? It's going to take courage.
Well, I think that's one of the big problems. Guys are fearful to look inside themselves, to challenge themselves. What's happening inside of me? You know, and if you ask guys, say, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. When in reality, their life is in shambles. They're in financial difficulty. Their marriage is in trouble or something like that. They're, for some reason, we have a hard time as men to share those kind of things.
There's a degree of discovery that needs to be made. The discovery for each guy to be able to come to see that deep within his own heart, there aren't just fears and things we want to avoid, but deep inside us, there's a desire to be great. There's a desire to do something great with our lives. There's a desire to rise up and do something about the very things that you're talking about. But we don't often see within us that the depth of that call. It's really a call within us. It's a call from God. We're made to be great, to respond to these kind of challenges.
So how do we find that call within? How do we see that greatness to bring it out of us?
I would say there's two steps. First of all, we need to see the crisis going on outside of us. There is something out there, and it's ugly. And it needs to be repaired, it needs to be fixed, sometimes even attacked. And we need to get off our rear ends and go to work. The second part is to realize we were made for a purpose, and our purpose is to become great. That's why God made us.
Yeah, and guys, you know, it hurts. It's not easy, it's not an easy thing to step out like that and to admit to yourself that I need to do something, I need to change something or something going on in my life. I need some help.
You know, our whole culture is also geared to keep me distracted from making that look, to looking inside. It can numb me with just, and medicate me watching television 24/7 to be distracted. It's geared toward you and I avoiding taking that tough look inside, but we have to stop to do that. And what ends up happening, when we look inside, we say, that's not the only thing that's in there. Something deeper is in there. It's actually the voice of God in me saying, hey, you're made for greatness. Come with me. Don't be afraid. Let's go.
And it's hard because we want to be great, but we also want to be comfortable.
Right.
And you can't be great and comfortable. You're going to have to get outside of the comfort zone and push yourself. And when I look at myself, I'll sometimes say, I know I'm made for more. But it's just, I'm already so busy, I'm so tired already, and I'm really afraid to push my comfort zone.
You know, Curtis, what you said there, a lot of people say, the world out there says, you can't do it. And you buy into that. You're told so many times, you can't do that, you can't accomplish that. Why are you going to step out and do that? You're going to get involved with that? Why are you going to do that?
Yeah. You know, once again, making that move interiorly, which is, you know, as a guy, it's not exactly the easiest thing to do. You know, it's like a foreign land we don't hardly ever want to go to. But within us, there really truly is a voice within us that wants to tell us who we are. It's the voice of God to awaken something within us to be able to aspire to greatness and to respond. And that's where it begins. It begins with that interior conversation and willingness to hear the voice of God that gives us the sense of hope and confidence that we're going to be able to respond to the challenges that we face.
Yeah, we'd rather sit on the couch, watch the game, than to take that look inside. It takes real courage to do that, doesn't it?
I think it does, but you have to be quiet, and the strength comes when you're quiet and you know you want to do something, but one says no, the other one says yeah, that little guy on your shoulder, which way are you going to go? And it takes some courage to say, you know, I am. I'm going to step out. I'm going to do it.
And as Peter said, we're so busy and distracted by the noise in our life, the iPods, the television, the telephone. We get in our car, we're pumping music at ourselves. To be able to have some moment of silence, as you said, Danny, to be able to just sit and realize God is alive and He wants to speak to us. He wants to call us into battle. Because the world's at war, and we're looking for men of virtue, men of character.
Well, Coach, Peter and Curtis are going to go down and do a review of the game plan right after this quick timeout.
Peter, we've been talking about courage and the radical need we have to do something great in a world that's really falling apart. Mm-hmm. We're really talking about the virtue of fortitude, though. What is the virtue of fortitude?
Well, a good way to look at it, good way to describe it, the best definition I think I've heard is the willingness to sustain a wound or to sustain an injury for the sake of the good. Now, that sounds, you know, there's a lot there, but in essence, what I'm saying is I'm willing to look at something that threatens me. A genuine threat to me, I look at it right in the eye. It's not the absence of fear. I'm not without fear, but I'm able to perceive the threat that's looking me right in the eye. I see the fear, I experience fear interiorly, but I don't let the fear control my response to do something great, heroic, what I know is the right thing to do. That's what courage does. Courage allows me to overcome the fear that would cause me to want to protect myself and to withdraw.
You're making a great point, though, because I think most of us, when we think of courage or bravery, we think about guys who have no fear at all. They just run in and do the right thing. But actually, to have the virtue, you're saying that we actually experience the fear and overcome it.
You can't act courageously, in a pure sense, without fear. It's not fearlessness. It's actually facing fear, because there's a dimension with which courage looks at reality. It grasps reality. I see the situation I'm facing as a genuine threat to me in some way. Could be the threat of death, could be the threat of being diminished in some serious way. And as a result, there's something in me that wants to pull away and preserve it for myself, preserving my own comfort, dignity, whatever, or my life ultimately. But courage is that thing within me. It's that habit within me. It's that skill that gets developed in me over time that says, I hear the fear, I experience it, but I can't let it control me because I'm called to something great. There's two things in us often. There's the desire to protect myself, and the other hand, there's something moving me to say, that's not the whole story about me. There's something deeper in me that's driving me to actually want to do something heroic and do something great.
That's so important to hear, because I think so many times we're just lied to and told that our lives are irrelevant, they're insignificant. But in reality, God's created us for a purpose. He wants us to do something great. He's made us for greatness. But instead, we sit back and say, oh, it's too big a job. Somebody else is going to have to do it. No, you, me, all of us, we are that somebody else.
Absolutely. And let me give you an example. I think an example that's helpful for me was the firemen on 9/11 in New York. Now, here these guys are, I mean, talk about heroes and courageous men. Here these guys are, they're walking into this tower that's, you know, in flames. They're about to they got to climb up this stairway. The only way to get to where they need to go is up this narrow stairway. And now imagine these guys, smoke everywhere, chaos. They know they're stepping into the darkness and they're walking up. And something inside each one of those guys, they're experiencing fear. I might get seriously hurt. I might lose my life. I don't know what I'm walking into here exactly. But they don't allow the fear to be the ultimate determiner of their action. And so they move forward, really, for the sake of the good, which is to rescue people who need to be rescued.
I can imagine just for a moment to try to put yourself in their place, that almost everything inside of you must be absolutely feared with dread.
Yeah.
Nothing good is going to happen inside of that burning building. You could be injured, as you said, or even killed, and in fact, many of them were. And so everything inside of you says don't go in. Well, almost everything inside of you, because something deep down inside says, no, you can make a difference.
Yeah.
Put your life on the line. That's bravery.
And here's what it is from a Christian point of view. Here's what we understand Christian courage to mean. Why would I put myself in that position to lay down my life for someone else? A couple of reasons. One is the Lord himself was the model for us. He said, this is the way to life. And there he sits on the cross for us. And a lot of those firemen were Irish Catholics and Italian Catholics. And what moves them deep down inside ultimately is the love of God, the fear of the Lord, and the reality of Christian hope. The reality to say, you know what? I might sustain a wound here. I might sustain an injury. I might even die. But it's not the whole picture. The worst thing that can happen to me is I'm going to die, but it's only temporary if I listen to that voice within me that's calling me to greatness, to pursue the good, to rescue someone in need or harm.
Well, you see that. Our Lord himself said there's no greater love than to lay your life down for a friend.
Yeah.
And the power of that as a Christian is to recognize that as you lay it down, he's going to make good on the promise and raise it back up.
Yeah.
And so we're not risking anything ultimate, but we're risking everything we have. And so it's a powerful thing to be able to place ourselves completely in the trust of our Lord during that act of bravery.
Yeah. You know, there's one way of looking at it is that you know, Jesus said, the man who saves his life will be willing to lose it. Courage protects us from loving our lives in such a way that we're going to lose it. You know, that I'm so attached to it that I'm not going to respond to the call to the good, to pursue goodness and truth and justice and make the sacrifices that are necessary to really fulfill what God is calling me to and the opportunities I'm facing.
The great thing about that virtue is it's not that you're only going to endure it and bear it, but that because of the virtue of courage, you're actually going to be able to do so with joy. That there's a joy that comes into our souls because we're living the way that Christ wanted us to live, the way he made us to live, and the way he remade us to live through his passion and death.
You know, one of the martyrs are the classic example for us to see. You know, like Maximilian Kolbe in the concentration camp in Poland, who raises his hand and steps up and says, I'll die in this man's place. And one of the things he demonstrated, and others do as well, that about Christian courage, a quality of it, is a kind of patience and a kind of calm and serenity of soul, because I understand the deeper purpose and my life is in the hands of God.
That breaks down courage in a very powerful way. Brian?
Great discussion, gentlemen. Coach Danny, are you ready for the red zone?
Let's get down where the action is.
All right, we will be down in the pit right after this quick timeout. We're in the red zone now on Crossing the Goal. Our subject is courage, getting into the game, and we're going to let our coach, Danny Abramowitz, lead us into battle.
Guys, you know what I think one of the problems out here, and one of them, is they don't set the bar high enough. You know, I think the challenge to set the bar high, you get that feel?
Well, yeah, but I think a lot of guys, Danny, are asking the question, feeling like my bar is plenty high now. Why should I set it higher? You know what I mean? I'm just trying to get through life. I'm trying to make it. And the bar seems too high for me the way it is.
But wait a second. I mean, don't we all have a sense that we were made for something more, that we were made for greatness? I know I watch a movie, A Man for All Seasons or Braveheart, and I sit back and say, wow, that was a man. I could be a better man. It's important to see that if the bar's high, we may fail to hit it.
Yes.
But we'll never get over it if we keep it down low. We're just going to live down to it.
Well, what is the bar, lifting the bar higher? For the average guy watching the show, what does it mean? What does it mean for you, Danny?
Well,
how'd you lift the bar up in your life?
Just take, for instance, my life, you know, my background. And when I got drafted by the Saints, really high, 17th round back in those days.
Did you wear helmets back then?
Leather. We had leather with no face mask. That's what happened to my nose.
It's the low number.
Teeth. I got these store-bought teeth, you know.
Yeah.
But I can remember going to coach and say, all I want is a fair chance. And he's all, okay, sort of
fluffed me off. And then we went through the exhibition season. Finally, I got to knock on the door to bring my playbook that they were going to cut me. Well, I went down there without my playbook, and I said, Coach, you didn't give me a chance. He said, you're serious, aren't you? He said, I'm serious as I could be. He says, okay, go ahead. He said, I'm going to give you another chance. I walked outside. That one worked. But no, I end up playing in the next game and had a good game, and then had a long eight-year career. So
all pro career. Yeah.
No, that's a great example of refusing to quit, because most guys would have just said, all right, it's over. But we need to recognize that sometimes what appear to be roadblocks are just speed bumps, and we're just going to power through them.
And then the bar, that's the idea of the bar being set, you know, not way, way high without reason, you know, way out of sight. I'm talking about a lot of guys are just mediocrity. I'm just okay, don't leave me alone, that type of thing.
But there's not one guy sitting here, and there's not one guy watching who could say, I couldn't raise the bar a little more.
Exactly.
We all could push ourselves more than we do. And I think that's what the world's waiting for, is for men to wake up and strive for greatness at a higher level.
Here's a guy, I was thinking about a guy, as you were talking about raising the bar and exercising courage, kind of getting into the game. There's a guy I met in Hungary, a young guy who started a business. And with two other guys, a greeting card business. He started during communist time. Very energetic guy. He took the pictures, created the whole thing. It was very successful. And then his other two partners decided they wanted to expand the business even further. And so they said, to get where we want to go, we need pornographic greeting cards. Huh. And we want you. We're going to do it. And this guy said, look, I'm not into that. We're not going to do it. And he goes, yeah, we are going to do it. So he went home. And he sat down with his wife and talked, and he began to pray. He sought the Lord about the whole thing. And he realized they had two votes, he had one. And if he disagreed, he's out, basically. You know. And he knew where the business was going to go. He had helped build the business right from the ground up. He went back to those guys and sat down, and he stood on principle, had the courage to say, look, I'm not going that way.
Yeah, so, exactly. But what made him change? What was the difference between him and those other guys?
Well, first, I mean, he took his relationship with the Lord seriously. And he went home and he prayed and he said, Lord, I'm relying on you. I think for most of us, that story, that guy inspires me a lot. I just saw him a couple weeks ago when I was in Eastern Europe. And he inspires me because what he showed me was his strength was leaning into the Lord. And I think for a lot of us, we'd say, well, you know, I mean, the Lord doesn't want me to lose my business, you know. He doesn't want my family to be hungry, right? That kind of thing. So I'll just stay in it. I'm not going to be involved in the porn side, but I'll stay. That business has grown and made a lot of money. And he left before it made the kind of money that's making it now, but he doesn't regret it one bit. He said, the reason I could do it, he said, is I'm living to please the Lord.
No, that's so important to see, that we've got to recognize. A lot of us are tempted to say, well, what's the best business move? And we use exactly what you said. That, well, I got to provide for my family. That's what I'm here to do. Yes and no. There's a higher guide that we need to also conform our lives to. In fact, that's got to be number one in our lives. And then, and only then, can we say, all right, now what can I do to be effective? Our Lord himself said, seek first his kingdom and righteousness, exactly. And then these things will be added on to
us. Curtis, you're right. You know, your strength, you talk about, well, how Curtis or Peter, how do I get the strength? I don't know how to do this. This is bigger than me. It is bigger than you, but if you bring the Holy Spirit, I call him our personal trainer sort of in life, they give you the strength to deal with some of this stuff, and you'll be surprised. The courage to step out. You step out for the Lord. If you say, I want to do this, you can eventually, it's not going to be an easy road now. Let's not give false pretense here that everything's going to be easy just because you turn your life over to the Lord. It doesn't get easy. Many times it gets hard. But the satisfaction of that guy, how good does he feel about himself?
Yeah, I mean, one thing, he's going to feel really good about himself the day he meets the Lord.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the bottom line. That's what pulls us out. You know, I think some guys who might be listening are thinking, look, I can't even see the bar from where I'm sitting right now. You know what? I feel so low. I feel so down. I've failed in so many ways. I can't even see the bar or reach the bar. And I think one of the things we want to be able to communicate, I know from my own life, my own family story, you know, our whole family was dealing with alcoholism, my father, all this when we were young, and we just thought we were stuck in it. There was no change. His father was an alcoholic, his brother was an alcoholic, and we're stuck, and that's just the way it goes. We didn't have any way out until one of my sisters came home. She had really had a major conversion in her life, and she came home and sat down and said, you know what, number one, this family doesn't believe, number one. We're stuck in unbelief.
Right.
We don't even know how to surrender something to the Lord, but I'm telling you, she said, I was praying, and this is what the Lord, she's talking, my sister, you know, she says, and here's what the Lord was telling me, that he wants all of us to turn our hearts toward him and trust him to get us out of this impossible situation. It doesn't have to keep going generation to generation, right. But what you need to do is cling to him now. And we actually started saying, you know, Lord, we don't have much faith around here. We really don't. And we ask you to come in, Lord. We give you permission. Give this family a deeper life. Set us
free.
And
I bet it changed your whole family.
Absolutely changed us all.
And you know what?
It radically did over time. It didn't happen overnight.
No, I know.
But you know what? We touched our brokenness. We saw the reality of it and realized, you know what? Christ is alive. He's active and he's changing lives. And it was the faith of one person imparting it to us. And we made a decision and gave him permission.
And the specifics change from family to family, but there's right. not a single family represented here or out in the viewing audience that isn't affected by some serious problem right now.
Right.
They feel trapped by whether it's finances or alcohol, whether it's a relationship struggle, a marriage that's crumbling, whatever it might be. There's something that's haunting raising teenagers. I mean, there's a lot of things that can put fear into
oh,
us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And sit back and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. And to do exactly what your sister did, go to the Lord and say, help. And when we reach out for help, we begin to enter into the battle.
And then, you know what happens out here, too, is the world beats you down, the negative attitude, so much negative, beat down, instead of raise up. You need to change your attitude, a positive attitude, that you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that I can.
You have to do it. The world's waiting for you to do it.
Exactly.
Your family's waiting for
right.
you to do it. We've got to be better men.
There's no doubt about it.
And you can't do it alone. You can't be a lone ranger. You got to find other guys who want to run with you, guys who can stand with you. The threefold cord is not easily broken, is what the Bible says. It's really true, and it's true in my life. There's a lot of times guys have held me up when I needed it.
Each of you guys is going to get a chance for the last word. We're going to push into the end zone next here on Crossing the Goal, right after this quick timeout. We have reached the end zone here on Crossing the Goal. It's a time for each of these guys to get their last word in on today's topic, courage. Peter?
Thanks, Brian. I want to challenge each viewer to dare to believe. To believe that you're called to greatness. And because you've been called by God to greatness, He has the power you need to rise to that level. You're not the exception. You're not in such a pit or in such a place that you'll never be able to rise to where God can raise you by His power. The Lord loves faith. He's pleased with those who lean into Him and to trust Him. And if you do that, He'll take you to precisely the place that He's made you to go.
That's a great point, Peter. And I want to build upon it. Each of us are asking ourselves, if we're going to get into the game, if we're going to pursue greatness, what are we going to do? And I think if we look into our lives and we look back at what God, the path that God has led us on, we may just find the answer to that. Maybe in your past you've had an issue with abortion or alcoholism. Maybe it's been pornography. For me, my life was radically transformed in college. And so I've turned my attention back to the college campus. Look into your own life and see, is there an area that you can look at and say, this is an area that needs the touch of Jesus Christ? And then give yourself to that. Because if you apply yourself through prayer and effort, you can make the world a better place. You can transform it. In fact, that's what the world is waiting for you to do.
All right, guys. Old coach is going to leave you with a coaching point. What I want you to do until the next time we meet is take 15 minutes daily in prayer and ask the Lord to give you the courage to change your ways and make Him number one priority in your life.
Coach Danny, Curtis, Peter, thanks for being with us. And we'll see you again on the next Crossing the Goal. Until then, dare to be great. We're made for it.